With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
It's winner take all time in the NBA and NHL, and FanDuel's giving you a shot to bring home a big win of your own. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 to bet on spreads, money lines, player props, and more. Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make every playoff shot count. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
As the great Keith Jackson used to say, oh, Nelly, do we have a podcast for you today, everyone? We welcome you to the latest and always greatest edition to all the Patriots pals and Foxborough friends of Six Rings and Football Things, brought to you by, of course, WEEI Odyssey and 2400 Sports. Rest easy, all ye mighty members of Patriots Nation, for you are just over 2 weeks away from the draft. The wait is almost over. Your mock draft fatigue will be set to ease. And until then, we will give you nothing but the highest quality prospect previews, analysis, insight, information, and whatever else we can put together to validate yapping in your ears for 30 to 45 minutes at a time. To start things off today, you got your old pals Nick Fitzy Stevens and Andy Jumbo Hart. We will be joined momentarily by Mike Pizza Party Cadillac. I think that's what do we call pickle pizza? Do we call him Pizza Party?
Pickle pizza.
Okay, got it.
You
okay,
the pickle in there. Everybody eats pizza. It's the few, the proud, and the Mike Cadillacs that really fixate on pickles.
I think that's their family crest. The few, the proud, the Cadillacs.
Although a quick aside,
is he a Roman Catholic?
Pizza. We can ask him when he joins us.
Look at
Nika, the devil! Oh. It's the pickle man himself.
It's
the parking lot.
Cadillac. Oh. I just introduced you. Because we've been trying to give everyone their extra pod name. Like, I'm Nick Fitzy Stevens. He's sure. Andy Jumbo Hart. So we have decided, if you're cool with it, you're Mike Pickle Pizza Cadillac.
That's fine with me. That works. I mean, it's what I've turned myself into anyway. There's more pictures of pickle pizza than there is this, like, stadium behind me on my Twitter feed anyway. So we might as well go for it.
As they said in True Detective Season 2, the only good takeaway from that abysmal follow-up to a great TV show, sometimes you get the world you deserve, and you, sir, deserve a world full of pickled pizzas. So congratulations.
Oh, yeah.
Mike joins us right now, everyone. If you're not watching on YouTube or any of our socials, Mike is joining us outside on, dare I say, Andy, perhaps the most beautiferous day to date in young 2024. It's going to top off around 70. There's no eclipsed sunshine. There's a blue sky. We're all in good moods.
Okay. Let's touch on the eclipse real quick before we get into the press conferences that Mike was covering.
And also ask Andy. Andy, did you fall for the video where everyone sent it to each other of the sunshine and then a gentleman's private parts dropped in front of the
sun? Oh, I didn't. No, because I'm better than that. But it did make me queasy. I did not feel good during the eclipse. It affected
really
my belly and my head. Yeah, I felt like carsick, nauseous. Like,
did they talk about that? Because I know like it gets weird with the whole like the light going down when your body's not ready to start producing melatonin. Pets kind of go crazy.
Deer were out. I saw more deer in the mid afternoon. I think they thought it was like dusk coming, and then dusk didn't come. It got bright again because there were deer in fields. It was weird.
I gave it the accidental look-see too with the right eye, and I saw like a little. I know, and my fiance was like, you know, what are you, too cool to wear the glasses? And I was like, no, I just accidentally looked too much under the thing. And then I lost it. And
me too.
I had a little glare in my eye. But no, it was pretty cool. But overrated, I think, is the right word for it.
It was cool to go out on your back deck. It wasn't cool enough for the people that drove like hundreds and thousands of miles to see it.
Exactly.
Yeah, clogging up the highways of New Hampshire and Vermont and everything. Just like absolutely bananas. Dare I say, Andy, we were doing a podcast with Mike Giardi last Friday when my office shook and it turns out there was an earthquake, you know, 50 miles away from where I reside. That's actually a bit more extreme or a bit more whelming, if you will, than the underwhelming nature of the eclipse. That said, I looked through the glasses. It was pretty cool, but it's kind of done. I mean,
well, like, I also do enjoy, and this is ironic for me since I hate everybody and I don't really like being around people
and everything.
Yeah, kind of. I kind of like these unifying events where everybody is sort of thinking and doing the same thing or a large portion. Like you, I was driving down the road to take my daughter to practice, and there's just people everywhere in their front yards with the glasses on staring at the sky. And I think that's cool in this day and age when we can actually get people sort of unified in one direction.
It's a good point.
And that was it was a cool event. But now we can move on to more important things.
I have a feeling that's going to segue to trying to get everyone unified into hashtag take Drake. But I will say
I'm
this.
A maniac.
It just doesn't feel gonna like it's going to happen, boys, anymore. No. We were just having that discussion in the media room, how it just feels way, way, way too good to be true. Andy, we've done it on our last like 3 or 4 pods together where it feels like everyone's in the same direction. Drake May. We loved Jaden Daniels at one point. We turned into maniacs. We're going to get Daniels, and we're going to be disappointed for some reason. We're probably going to get a kick-ass quarterback at number 3.
It's very easy. It's very easy. All you have to do is say, Jaden will take us duck boat parading. You're welcome.
It's terrible. Yeah. No, it's more.
It's fantastic.
What about JJ?
No.
JJ McCarthy.
Nay, for JJ.
Stay away, JJ.
How about this?
Friend of the show seems gung ho on JJ.
Yeah, I was just going to say
on BSJ and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, and don't worry about it. It's not going to be eat a bag of Knicks either because Bo Nix, I don't even think is going to go in the first round.
You're finally off the Bo Nix train then.
I would be fine with Marvin Harrison Jr. 3, Bo Nix at 34, and the chaos that follows. But that's not going to happen.
Losing that follows. Forget the chaos. It's the losing that follows.
Losing is also chaotic, so that's fine.
No, losing is what we keep doing. I'd rather turn a corner and start winning and have hope and opportunity. Not that
you know what it is, Mike? It's that now, like with just over 2 weeks left, it's almost like at this point, we've been doing the same show, the same podcast, variations therein for 5 months now. I don't have the time. I don't have the strength or the resilience to just continue with narratives that we all know are not. Bo Nix is not going to be a Patriot, so I'm done with that. I don't even care about it. And by and large, from everything I've heard, Michael Penix will not be a Patriot, so I'm not even going to continue to pursue what I thought would have been a fun reality of Penix at 11, Guyton at 23, and then Leggett at 34. We pretty much need to focus on the big three because Caleb Williams is going first overall. Can somebody please either stop lying or figure out what is honestly true? Because last week we get Schefter saying, you know, Daniels is pretty much going too, which means the Patriots will have their choice of Drake May at 3. Then on Friday, there's a bunch of tweets saying, oh, the Commanders are actually in love with Drake May. Adam Peters has been enamored with him for a long time. Now it's going to be Jaden Daniels season for the Patriots as well. Now we got Giardi Wilden on the podcast with Taylor Kyles. Yep. And if you can see right now, I just am seeing now because the scrambled vision of Andy came in for 2 seconds on my screen. I had no idea you had 100 balloons behind you in your room, which is awesome. I had no idea you were throwing a party.
It's a JJ McParty.
And that's right. Andy's having a JJ party. And now we've got freaking, you know, Giardi's Wilding with Taylor Kyles saying he's heard very definitively that the Commanders and the Patriots are enamored with JJ McCarthy. So you guys, since it's only my job to fanboy and try to steer the ship, you guys have a little bit more of the inside knowledge. Somebody please tell me what's true, what's not true, what's bullshit, what's not, and where is all this leading?
I mean, I'll say that I think there's too much smoke now around JJ McCarthy to the Patriots for there not to be some sort of fire. Now, will they take him at number 3 straight up? That, I mean, there's no way of knowing right now, but clearly they have their rankings, and whether it be, call it Daniels, May McCarthy, Daniels, like whatever the order is, I think he's in the conversation because I don't think these reports and rumors and I know this and we know that would continue to come out if there wasn't some truth to it. Now, I don't think they should take him at 3. I don't think anybody really, at least on the media side, thinks they should take him at 3. But if they feel confident enough and that's their guy, they're not going to trade. I don't think they should risk taking or trading back and taking the guy at 6, 7, 8, whatever, because then another team's just going to jump them. So it might really be how the board, you know, ends up falling and who ends up going number two, depending on who they take at three.
Yeah, and that's what Perilla was saying last week, Andy. Like, if you like the whoever it is, take him.
No one even remembers whether a guy went four or six if he's either really good or really bad. He's a bust if he's really bad, and he's a franchise QB and he's really good. And no one says, well, you took him at four, but he would have been better value at six. No. It's the same freaking thing. You took a top 10 quarterback. He's either good or bad. It's about the player, not the pick. So as much as I hate it, if they think J.J. McCarthy is the best quarterback for them, then sit, take him at three, and then I'll rip you in 2 years when he's a bust and you're looking for another quarterback. Like, you need to have conviction. Elliott Wolf needs to have. Now, I just think, first of all, if any of these teams are any good at their jobs, what they really think is not out there. Or if it is out there, it's jumbled in with seven other thoughts. Because you're terrible at your job if you actually let people know what you're doing and what you're planning. Who brought the cool guy? Cool guy.
My eyes hurt out here.
Oh, man. We got the bro with the Oakleys on. You're suffering from post-eclipse. You have a case of the eclipticals?
Yeah.
I understand. Scorched retina happens to everybody, Mike. It's okay.
Okay, so let's get into the reason you're here, though, Mike. We just had the first official in the middle of the off-season program media availability. We are rolling in Foxborough. All your buddies on social media were showing us like, oh, I'm at work. I think Fitzy and I should start sending out things like when we go to the Rich Keefe show, like send out a tweet so people can praise us for showing up for our job. Like, I don't really understand this. Like,
oh, look, yeah, Christian Gonzalez is in the weight room.
Yeah, it's his effing job. I'd be mad if he wasn't. If he takes a picture on the beach this week, I'll rip his ass. Get in the weight room and get healthy. But they are in the off-season program. They've started the process. And you were able to speak with Hunter Henry and Pep Smear Peppers. Are we not doing that?
Pep Smear?
You know, when he hits,
you're going to give
really
me a hard time on Duck Boat Parading with Jaden, and you're going to do Pep Smear?
Yeah. Well, he kills people. He wipes them out, so that makes them Pep Smears.
We did speak with Hunter and Jabril. We did.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you for being the one lone professional in this room.
What was the takeaway? Was it exciting? Was there a vibe? Was there energy?
There was a vibe. It's the new era energy, the new Mayo era energy that they keep, portraying. And I don't mean portraying as if it's fake, but I mean, it's, you know, but Henry said it straight up. It's different. Things feel different in the building. You can tell. And then when he was asked, well, what's different? He goes, well, I'm not going to tell you, but there's clearly a different vibe inside these walls with Mayo being there. They both alluded to both Henry and Peppers alluded to the fact that he's a former player. So he relates to them. He's been literally in these seats, both on the desk and in the building, and then also as a coach. So I guess that sort of helps their cause. But yeah, that was the main takeaway, was just that Henry wanted to come back because he wanted to be a part of this rebuild. He was a captain last season, feels like more of a leader now. He loves the spring, even though Andy doesn't like us tweeting that, you know, guys are in the building. They like being in the building. They like being back to work. And so it seems like more so obviously team building right now, but both guys seemed excited. They also, Jabril Peppers was asked about the hip drop tackle, and he's still pissed about the hip drop tackle. He doesn't like the fact that it was banned, saying that he doesn't know how it's going to be officiated. And, he's never almost said he doesn't feel like he should have to worry about the health and safety of the offensive players when he's just trying to make a tackle, which I don't necessarily disagree. I mean, you obviously want everybody to be safe, but you don't have to be thinking about it. You should just be able to go make your tackle. So that was sort of the main takeaway with him. Geez, what else? Yeah, basically just it's a new era with Mayo here. So both guys seem excited.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's completely on brand, and it tracks with Jabril Peppers because violence is his resting state. So I get it. He's his old school football. You know, name one player on the Patriots who'd pull a Ronnie Lott and cut off a finger to get back on the field. It would probably be Jabril
Peppers.
Oh, we did
also get a little bit of insight into Matthew Slater's new role. So,
ooh, what is he? Some sort of, like, cultural ambassador with the team? Or
I'll go back to getting mad at Andy for making fun of my tweets. If we didn't search for the photos, we would have never seen Matthew Slater walk into the building alongside Juju Smith-Schuster yesterday. He was here. Now Reese did report it, so maybe I am backing myself into a corner with looking at the photos. But nonetheless, Matthew Slater is inside the building. Peppers was asked what his role was. He said it said advisor, whatever that means, next to his name. So he is essentially on the staff as an advisor on the team. So he is remains in the building and is going to be a guy who they can throw ideas off of and whatnot. Official Slater is back.
Official like Patriot Way advisor or whatever. And look, if there were going to be anybody, if there were going to be a tone setter, a cultural ambassador, if you will, whatever it is, his capacity, the one guy I think we all could agree you'd want to have in there is Matthew Slater. And it doesn't surprise me in a lot of ways. I'm not sure what you guys think Hunter Henry could have gotten if he went out to the free market, but like he shows up yesterday wearing a Chatham Bars Inn sweatshirt. Like that's the nicest place on the Cape. Like he's acclimated.
He loves
very, he does. I think he really does, which is great. And those are the kind of guys that we want sticking around as well. I think he's going to have a terrific, he'll probably be Jacoby Brissett and then insert name of future quarterback here's favorite target. He'll be, we would have liked a Keenan Allen like Caleb Williams got as a draft present, but you know, so be it as well. And I've heard from when I stopped by the Patriots, when they had their pre-draft party a couple weeks ago on a Saturday, staffers and other people I spoke with, former players, everyone keeps saying the same thing. It is very different there now. And there's no one single something that they can point to, but it does feel a little, I don't know, how would you say it, Andy? Like lighter, if you will. Like not like ha-ha, yuck-yuck, but it's like you're not looking around every corner like waiting for Belichick to come around the corner and you say, hi, coach, and he MFs you.
It almost feels like, sorry, there's a construction going on behind me now. I don't know if you lost me for a second.
Everything's a work in progress. We're with the metaphors. It's all good.
It's almost like you're at school and like the principal's out, or more so like your teacher's out for the day and you have a sub there and like you kind of, maybe you're towing what you can get away with, what you can't. Can I talk while they're talking? Can I do this and that? It's almost like it gives me that feel, because even being in there today, I'm looking and I'm taking a step back and nobody has asked about Belichick yet. And I couldn't decide if I wanted to ask, but someone else did finally. And I was like, before that, it almost felt like, you know, we're back here and everything's normal, but the one guy that sort of run the show, run the party the whole time, is just not here anymore. And it's almost like we forget that he was ever here. So it is kind of like a weird feeling that I'm back at work, they're back at work, Gillette Stadium's open, there's Patriots logos everywhere, but Bill Belichick's gone.
And I think the comparison you made to the sub, but I would add a layer to it. I would say it's not in science class or math class. It's a sub in like art or English, where suddenly with that dictator gone, people are like a little more comfortable just throwing stuff out there, talking, being creative, like interacting with each other and the boss, like in that level.
Right.
And whether that's good or bad, we can assess later on, because it's going to be measured by one simple thing, results. Yep. If you win single digits for the next 3 or 4 years, well, you won't even get that long. If you win single digits, you'll get a couple of years and you'll be out and we'll be talking about the new culture. But I do think it's interesting that these two guys are, we saw David Andrews do a video yesterday, but that these two guys are, I think, taking on, obviously, Hunter Henry, a returning captain, Jabril Peppers is a defensive leader just by nature, I feel like, of his attitude and work ethic and hitting and style. But it feels like these are early follow me kind of guys. Do you think these are going to be culture setters for Jerod Mayo?
100%. Them two, and then you mentioned Andrews, but Jonathan Jones as well ended up doing sort of one of those welcome video things. Yeah, 100%. I think that's I forget if it was me and you, Andy, we were talking about it, but like a leadership council, if you will, of a team. Like I think we talked about it on our prospect pod the other day, having guys like that. I think you could certainly point to those four as being the centers of each side of the football. And then you don't really have it yet with special teams with Slater gone, but he's now back in the building. Obviously Henry being a captain level player, I would say. And then I think they look towards, I know they look towards Jabril Peppers as well as a captain level player.
That's somebody who I want doling out advice or putting people in their place. Like 100%. Rookies or second year players, new guys come in and think they can, even though Peppers has only been there for 2 years, if they can affect change or be tone setters, he's somebody. I think if you could pick one Patriot from this team now and drop them in 20 years ago, like doesn't Jabril Peppers make the most sense that he would have fit in on a Ty and Rodney would have loved the.
Oh my God.
No hip drop tackles. No hot mics on the field against the Giants. Just a football player who can just go out and play.
We asked. I still feel like making those shirts. Honest to God.
We talked. when we did our, I keep alluding to my conversations with Andy, it's almost like they mean something, but we did it on a one-off Wednesday. We talked about the captains and the way Peppers took full accountability, responsibility after that comment, and he didn't hide from it. He didn't duck from it. And why are you dancing like that in your green sweatshirt?
Because I was validated by Mike Cadlick, the pickle guy.
Yeah. Big ups.
Somebody half your age just validated you. Congrats. Yeah, you. Do you want us to pause the podcast so you can do a quick victory lap around the house?
I'm cool with the young people. I feel like Robert Kraft when he hangs out with Meek Mill.
Yeah, right.
Gross.
Thunder.
Jeez.
That's my thunder right there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's got mad Riz.
Yeah, but no, regardless, Peppers is that guy. He's stand up. He knows what he's doing. So he is a captain level player for sure.
Hey, Mike, I wanted to dip away from the QB. Obviously, we've addressed the QBs and you got you there at the stadium for the Peppers and Hunter reaction as the Pats are back in for the spring workouts. T minus 16 days till the draft. You want to stick around and do some Pats Paris with us or you got some blogging to do?
Yeah, let's do it. Why not?
Okay. All right, let's make our way into the second half, the back half of the podcast. Thank you guys all for subscribing, for tuning in. Please remember several key dates coming up, of course. Draft night, it's going to be the 6 to midnight Rich Keefe all-night draft show. You'll have Shime, Hart, and Keefe in studio. You'll have Cadlick at location TBD. Yep. I will be at the stadium hosting the draft party and checking in with you guys, bringing you live analysis from the Pats fans as well. It's going to be absolutely spectacular. Lock it in, rip off the knob. And tell your friends they all should be tuned in as well. April 18th from 7 to 10 p.m. at Vitamin C, we'll be doing the fundraiser for Boston Children's Hospital in memory of Hallie Kide. If you need information on that, jump on over to my socials at FitzyGFY. It's going to be a great time for a great cause and a great man. All right, let's get to the other news, notes, nuggets, rumblings, and bumblings in Patriots Nation right now. The top 30 visits continue to pour into Gillette Stadium. Mike, Andy, I just read that Florida State tight end Jaheim Bell is visiting. Yep. What can you guys tell the listeners about him?
We actually haven't touched on the tight ends yet for Six Rings prospects, but what I know about Bell is that this isn't the only interest they've had in him. I believe they had a pre-draft interview with him at either the Combine or the Senior Bowl or one of these events. I forget which one. And I believe someone was at the Florida State Pro Day as well for Bell. So definitely interested in him as a tight end prospect to bring in. You know, we have Henry, we have Austin Hooper on the roster as well. But besides that, it's slim pickings in the tight end room. So you wonder when they actually address the position, whether it be in draft, whether they bring in somebody else off the free agent market. But they definitely have more than just one meeting, one sort of, I guess, arm of interest in Bell because they met with him before too.
Yeah, we've been saying this a lot on the prospect podcasts. Sneaky needs. Cornerback's a sneaky need. Tight end's a sneaky need. Running back's a sneaky need. I would say tight end, it's not a great class. It drops off dramatically after Brock Bowers. And when there might be a little run of the second tier could affect things dramatically. But it wouldn't stun me for the – I'd probably say a day three pick. I don't think they would address it in the first 2 days. Yeah. But a day three pick on tight end would not stun me because I think they've learned the lesson. I know it's a new regime, but the post Gronk, oh crap, we don't have tight ends. Now we got to overpay in free agency era. Trying to bring a young developmental guy in while you have Henry, while you have Hooper to try to, you know, Belichickian style year too early. Don't scramble later.
Right.
I think that's part of this process.
What I like, and I think our pal Mike Dussault in his latest mock for Patriots.com had, I believe, out of Kansas State, Ben Sinnott.
Yeah, fullback slash tight end. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, what is it? 6'4", 250.
I'm losing my mind. We did.
I was going to say, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, we guys did backs and tight ends recently.
Yeah,
you
we guys, did. I don't know what I'm talking about. It's the clips. It's the sun. I shouldn't even be here on Pat's Free. I should just go. But
yeah, I wouldn't mind if Sinnott was the guy either as well. Looks like, you know, high athletic score, good experience. But yes, I think the key, again, just like with whatever quarterback they take, all these guys can play. It's really the system and the coaches and the time that they spend developing and maturing him. All these tight ends, these are big athletic bodies as well. It's the system and the people you surround them with. And if you can get somebody like Hunter Henry, who, how many years has he been in the league now? Seven, eight,
nine.
Wow.
This
I mean, that's
year nine. He that's mentioned okay. That today.
Been in eight. This is year nine. 9 years, Mrs. Bueller. So that's somebody you want to get a young tight end in to learn from right now. So, yeah, it is a sneaky need, and I would love to see them use a high day three pick on that as well. Any other top 30s of late that you guys can put a finger on that would interest the people, defensive linemen, offensive linemen?
I mean, I believe as of this moment, Jaden Daniels is in there somewhere. So Jaden Daniels is here right now on his top 30 visit.
Go get him.
Get him on the pot. No.
Wait, whoa. It's a new era. Silos have been knocked down. Yeah. Gerard told us he wanted us to see things. Go get him.
Could you imagine? That would be electric. Yeah. This would be
in the old days, you would have been shot, but now you can feel free to chase him.
Wow. Is he a trespasser at Brady's wedding? Jeez.
Oh, I firmly believe in the old days he would have been shot if he started snooping around Jaden Daniels. But today,
one of the musket guys on the field.
Yeah.
So Jaden Daniels is here now. JJ McCarthy next week. And that is the only May last week, Daniels this week, JJ the week after. Those are the only three quarterbacks on the top 30 as of right now. And then Tyler Guyton was here last week. That's according to Mike Reese. So one of those dipping into the later first round offensive tackle prospect.
Big boy out of Oklahoma, correct? Or Houston?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
He's been my guy all along. See, I'm not a late arrival like all these others where it's like, oh, I suddenly like Drake May. Nope. I've been on Guyton for years. Gary Guyton's long lost.
You were also Jordan Morgan, though, too, weren't you?
Yeah, I kind of want either one of those. Those are my two athletic left tackle types that I'd be looking for.
Any receivers or backs that have
backs? Backs.
Come on, listen. You just called it a sneaky need.
We got Antonio Gibson bitching about the weather. What do we need a rookie back for?
I love that. I love the fact that he can't handle the cold weather already. And yes, people,
he did go to the Celtics though, so that's a good sign.
That's a very good sign as well. What do you guys think? This guy's definitely going to get. I wanted to hit on this real quick. Obviously, Chad Ryland gets drafted last year, fourth rounder. The fourth round punter, Bryce Behringer, has a solid season. He's here for a while. He's a long hauler. I think there's going to be camp competition for Chad Ryland. What do you guys think of, and I'm sure there's probably going to be a line of teams that are going to want to get this guy in camp. Jake Bates, this dude that's kicking for Michigan in the UFL, 64 yards one weekend, 62-yarder down the middle with leg to spare the second weekend. How many teams do you think will probably try to ask him or try to put a camp invite on that guy?
I'm sure he'll be popular. He will be. Now, there's a couple good kickers in this draft or rookie free agent class as well.
Yeah.
But I think the Patriots, you sort of hit on it. If I'm a guy like that, you're looking at a place where it's not just camp competition. It's competition. I can win this job. I'm not, you know, an emergency list guy. I'm not a preseason let Nick Folk keep his leg fresh kind of guy. If you come to New England, I think you're looking at the way Ryland played last year and saying I could leave camp as the kicker. So, I mean, take that as whatever you see it. That's a positive for the kicker, but it might allow you to also get a better guy because he looks at the opportunity.
And with Belichick being gone, I feel like there's less of an incentive to keep Ryland around just because he was the fourth round pick. Like if Bill was still here and they miss on the pick, yeah, Wolf and Groh were in the front office, but that wasn't really their pick. So it doesn't really, it doesn't really hurt as much if they find competition, someone beats him out, and they let him go. So there should be a fire under his ass for his job because he wasn't great last year. And it would almost be irresponsible for them to not try and bring somebody else in to try and take his job.
Yeah, he legitimately could stay. I mean, Elliott, Wolf, Highsmith, especially Gerard Mayo, they're not beholden to beholden to Chad Ryland.
Right.
Yeah, like they don't owe him anything. So the job should be open. I mean, I think pretty much all jobs will be open. But you did mention that Juju Smith-Schuster was walking into the building yesterday.
Yeah.
What do we put the odds on him making the team and making contributions in 2024? Because I think a lot of Pats fans would have wondered if he would have either not been traded or just cut by this point.
I mean, I have a hard time at this point thinking that he's going to get cut just because of the money he does make. But it wouldn't shock me if they traded him at some point. I mean, if they bring in what they bring in at receiver, depending on what they see from DeMario Douglas and Kayshon Booty in camp, and they also have KJ Osborne, obviously, like if he ends up being the odd man out, yeah, they might try and trade him for something and get something back for him, see if they can get the contract off. I mean, Look, I was a Juju proponent last year. We know that from this show. I was wrong. Look, I still, it's tough with the money because you don't want to just cut a guy like that. I think he can still contribute, but I don't think he's necessary on this team either. So it's kind of a weird thing with Juju, especially because of the contract.
Yeah, I think he'll be around just because of the contract slash a veteran. He's a, you know, proven kind of guy. I don't know how they'll work to maybe manage him and work through some things. And maybe you can get, you know, certain games where you kind of circle it. It's a Juju game for matchups or whatever reason. Now, I wouldn't count on him to go out and, you know, play 17 games and catch 85 balls or anything but that. But, I mean, you have Kendrick Bourne coming off an ACL. You have Demario Douglas, who's young and had his issues with head injuries last year. You have Kayshon Booty, who, I don't know, I wouldn't bet on him being on the roster, if you know what I'm saying. So there's a lot of questions there. So you might, you know, Juju leaves a lot to be desired, especially for people like Mike, who really had, you know, upside thoughts about him, and you watch what Jakobi Meyers did, but he still is kind of a solid fallback plan B, whatever you want to call him at this point in his career, and you're paying him, so you might as well utilize it.
Yeah, somebody, who was it who just said this was traveling the Twix yesterday? Some veteran receiver was asked, who's the most underrated receiver in the NFL? And the answer was like that. They said Jakobi Meyers. And said
it was Devontae Adams on wasn't that on the pod with Kraft?
I don't think that was on the shop. I think that may have been someone else as well. But yeah, mad love for Kobe, which is great because, you know, how come we can't get players like that?
Well, Kirk Cousins also mentioned KJ Osborne.
I was just going to. It's like we all, it's perfect. Oh, I'm not saying it like shame on you. I'm just saying like, wow, we're all starting to think like each other. What do you guys make of Kirk Cousins saying that KJ Osborne has the capacity to be better than a number three receiver? And it's just that he had to feed Hawk and Jefferson there. He thinks the moon of him. Andy, do you think they may have actually gotten maybe a good two or possible 1A in disguise?
I don't think they got a 1A in disguise. I think, is he maybe a little bit more than what he was based on opportunities and volume? Sure. I think he can be that. But I think he's still a role complementary. You're still looking for the centerpiece guy for him and others to work around. You know, even to the point like his production touchdown wise fell for three straight years. Like, even if you're a complimentary weapon, in theory, you're going to get opportunities like in the red zone when other teams are saying, no, I'm not letting Justin Jefferson score. I'm not letting TJ Hawkinson beat us. And he didn't really maximize those chances. So that's a double-edged sword. You know, will he have an opportunity? Sure. He might also see more coverage than he's used to. So you're going to have to beat him.
You guys want some fun breaking Patriots news?
I love fun breaking Patriots news.
Christian Gonzalez will officially be wearing jersey number 0 next season for the Patriots.
I'm glad you're breaking that, but I got into a fight with a bunch
of number 0.
I got into a fight with a bunch of douchebag trolls, you peoples, the other day who were like,
well, why'd you say Belichick's gone and now he can finally get his number?
Because he wanted that number last year and Belichick wouldn't let him have that number. That's why. That is why. And now he's taking 0, and now that will be hopefully your second most popular jersey behind Drake May.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that'll sell through the roof and off the charts.
Can I experiment something?
Highly logical.
If you guys can hear me when I leave the, can you guys still hear me?
Yep.
Okay, but you can't see me. So we have a full list of jersey number updates. KJ Osborne number 2, Demario Douglas number 3, Jakobi Brissett number 14. Taki Taki 16, Antonio Gibson 21, and everyone else is kind of boring because it's the big guys. But
Jakobi Brissett doubling up on the 7 he wore when he was first back with the Patriots, going with the Steve Grogan 14. I like it.
Yep, number 14 for Kobe.
Let's get him a neck roll while we're at it, too. He's probably going to need it next year. Guys, I don't think we've actually covered it here. It was the big breaking news over the weekend as well. Your reaction to Kyle Duggar's 4-year, $58 to $66 million deal coming off the transition tag with a guaranteed $32 million?
I'm fine with it. I don't love the player. I think he's a good, not great player. I think he's a liability in coverage. I think if you can fill that role, he will be a better player. You didn't break the bank for him. You certainly are living up to what I said when Elliot Wolf said we want to draft, develop, and treat people right. And everybody was like, what's that, a shot at Bill? No. That was about treating people right financially and contract-wise and retaining your own people. And I think Kyle Duggar is a great guy for that. I don't think he's a super vocal leader, but I do think he's a core player leader behind the scenes. And for the price, I'm fine with it. I didn't want to overpay him and continue to lift the market. I think he kind of slotted in where he probably is. He might be a little overpaid, but for a team mm-hmm. that is trying to build a culture and has a lot of money, you can do a little bit of overpayment and it's not a big deal.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, we talk about burn cash. They haven't burned cash. They had $100 million. They spent this. They spent like, that's another 30 guaranteed to Kyle Duggar. Money that you had, a player that you wanted to retain, a player you clearly wanted to retain because you transition tagged him at first. Now you get it done. You make it across the finish line. I agree with you as the player, Andy. He's good. He's a good player on a good defense. He can be subject to some struggles in coverage, but that's mm-hmm. stuff that you can always improve on, and you still need that sort of free-roaming safety like Devin McCourty was here on this defense and pass coverage anyway. So long story short, I like the Duggar move. I think you had the money, and you had to bring him back, so good on them for doing it.
Not sure if Bill would have made that kind of signing as well back in the day. He may have said, go out, figure out what you can get, and come back to us. May have actually been a little less money at this point, but like you said, they were comfortable with the money that they had. They actually gave him an increase in average annual value above what the 13 and a half he would have gotten on the transition tag as well. So I'm fine with it. It's not my money. And more importantly, he is a good to sometimes very good player. Yes, susceptible to getting burned and cooked sometimes by backs and ends when he's in pass coverage, but he does make some big plays and he's a stout member of the back end of that defense. Now, hopefully in the draft, they can go get a free safety because that is something that they are lacking. Speaking of Bill Belichick, we'll wrap with this. Gentlemen, did you get a chance to watch any of the video of Matt Rhule talking about Bill Belichick coming in and serving up a 4.5-hour football guy speech and education session? Talk about the education of a coach with the Nebraska football program. He was brought in as a guest speaker. I think Matt Rhule thought he would do 30 minutes to an hour. He did over 4 hours, and Matt Rhule said he had to interrupt him at one point and say at the 3-hour mark, Coach, do you want a glass of water? I mean, is that not the most Bill Belichick thing you could have possibly heard?
Yeah, and it's expected. I mean, not only is that normal Bill, like passionate, let's just talk football, I can go forever, but the idea that he's few and far between maybe with some of those opportunities, so when he has a captive audience and that opportunity, like he's going to get everything he can out of it because he knows – a couple days later, he might be sitting by himself on Nantucket just talking to himself about football and scheme yeah. and things like that. Now, I will say, and that was a great story where, and Rhule added, like, he was like, Coach, you need to use the men's room? And he's like, because I really needed to use the men's room, yeah. and I was hoping he would have to, too. Like, I liked that story from Matt Rhule, who I don't always find likable. He goes back and forth. Sometimes I think he comes off as a colossal douche, and then sometimes I think he comes off as really likable. Maybe like me. But you said it, not me. Yep. This reaction that Albert Breer and others had that, like, it's so crazy that, you know, owners couldn't find, you know, didn't hire Belichick. And I'm like, are we just going to ignore that he's 72 years old? Like, right. Yes, he's a living legend. Yes, he can tell stories, but to just turn the keys of your franchise over to him isn't as simple as these people make it to seem, especially if you have a coach in place, a mediocre coach or whatever. Like, people try to make it out to be like this simple decision to hire Bill Belichick. And I think it's anything but a simple decision.
And I also think, I mean, there was some notion that maybe the game had passed him by and that's why they had to move on here. I don't think that's the case. No. I still think he can coach for 2, 3, maybe 4 seasons, but you're right, Andy. It's not a turnover a rebuilding franchise to this guy. It's turnover a ready-made roster to this guy. And there weren't that many this offseason in the cycle that opened up. So the story itself was amazing. Like, it was perfect. Yes. And I love, again, 4.5 hours in front of these guys, not stopping, almost offended that Rhule asked him for a glass of water. He was like, I'm fine, Matt. Like, what do you mean? Like, it was great. And it does show you that he's still ready to coach and he's probably going to coach again, maybe next year. Even if it's for a year or two. So no, it's a good story. And even people coming in and saying that, oh, this is why the Patriots shouldn't have let him go. Like, I think most of us can agree that it was time here and it's time for something new. And it's okay that you know, he can still go talk about coaching for 4.5 hours and maybe he'll do it somewhere else, be successful. But it was time for them to move on here. And I think everybody's sort of on that page.
And guys, I know this is a Patriots podcast, but we are all Boston sports fans of varying degrees and magnitudes. And we're fired up for hopefully deep playoff runs for the Celtics and the Bruins as well. Bruins are on fire right now. So are the Celtics. The Red Sox are, we're doing this podcast T-minus an hour from the start of opening day at Fenway. And good news, everyone. Nick Pivetta to the injured list with right elbow inflammation, and Trevor Story officially done for the season. But it was a fun 10 games.
Yep. See you next year.
Andy, you're going to have a great time tearing into that tonight on the Rich Keefe Show.
Trevor Story hurt? Who could have ever seen that coming?
That's tough, too. Like, Story was having a good offseason, good year. And that game three, whatever it was, bang. And it's like he's just made of rubber again.
It's Chris Sale. It's too bad. It's Chris Sale all over again. Like,
it's JD Drew and Chris Sale, yeah.
Do I think Trevor Story wants to play and wants to be good and works hard? And like, yeah, all of that. Like, I feel bad, but it is what it is. You know, you can't make the club from the tub, can't help the club from
the tub. It is similar to Chris Sale, you're right, because Sale was the same guy, like balls to the wall, wants to play, competes his ass off. And then 3 days in, he's going in for another TJ. And it's like, come on, dude. Like, and it's not his fault. And that's the tough part. So,
this one is even, I know Chris Sale had some of his like off field fall off the bike. I mean, this is Trevor Story making a play at shortstop, like being aggressive, athletic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is the definition of you play the game. It's like that UFL star destroying who made a big tackle over the weekend and fractured his neck. And now he's done for the season. Like,
he's on IR.
It's a violent sport. What are you going to do?
Yep.
All right, boys. Great pod today. Mike, thanks for taking some time to join us fresh outside the stadium the info from the Hunters and Peppers.
Go find Daniels.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll go get Jaden. Emergency
we'll,
six.
We'll let you go. See if you can squeeze a couple with Jaden back in the stadium. We'll keep you guys updated.
Is it windy there?
Not terribly.
Oh, okay. Because I heard a little wind on your microphone, and I was worried that if he stepped outside, he'd blow away.
Oh, that's him. He's down by the ground round.
All right, everybody. That's the end of the podcast. We apologize. Well, the views of Andy Hart do not represent everyone at WEI Odyssey 2400 Sports. Great podcast, boys. Take care of yourselves. He's at Jumbo Hart. He's the Pickle Pizza Party himself at Mike Hedlick, and I'm at Fitzy GFY. There'll be more prospect pods to come. Don't forget, T-minus just over 2 weeks till the draft party. And man, we can't wait. We'll keep you up to date with the latest and greatest news, notes, and more from Pats Nation each and every day here on Six Rings. Until then, thanks for listening. And as always, good day, God bless, and go Pats.